and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let Lent begin. Frankly, I'm not sure that everyone who hears that today is Shrove Tuesday, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, will be that enthusiastic about the beginning of Lent. For some folks, I suppose, Lent is a very tedious time, a drab and dull season of the church year. There may be other people who say, let Lent begin and do it with something of a qualifier. Yes, let Lent begin, but only after the excitement and the celebration of the Mardi Gras. I believe that today, because it is Shrove Tuesday, we can say, let Lent begin without qualification. Shrove Tuesday, what does that mean? It means it's a time for shriving. It's a time for confessing sin, a time for receiving forgiveness, a time for seeking forgiveness. And that tells us something very wonderful about Lent. That tells us that Lent is a time for growth. Growth can be a very painful thing in some ways, but in other ways, growth is a very superlative kind of experience filled with a lot of excitement. We know about that as Christians, to die to sin and to rise again to the newness of life. Is there a new enthusiasm about it then? The opportunity for growth to intensify those acts of the Christian faith and to concentrate more upon them during these holy days of Lent so that we may grow more fully in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about that, there's a new enthusiasm. Indeed, let Lent begin. Let Lent begin as a time in which we grow in our personal relationship with the Great One who is among us. When the religious leaders came out to John the Baptizer and said to him, "Who are you?" he confessed. He did not deny. He said, "Look, fellas, I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah who was to come before the great day of the Lord. I am not the prophet like Moses whom God has promised to raise up. I am simply the fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah said, one preparing the way of the Lord." And then they said, "Well, if that's the case, why are you baptizing?" And he said, "I'm glad you asked. I am baptizing because there is one among you, a great one. He is so great that I am not at all worthy to bend down and to undo the thong on his sandals." The people who came out didn't know the great one. Maybe they hadn't even seen him yet. But John the Baptizer knew him, and by the grace of God, we know him too. Through the instrument of the word, we have been again to the Mount of Transfiguration. We have seen who the one among us is. Why, he is the Son of God. He is the fulfillment of all that the law and the prophets have said. He is the great one, like Moses, to be raised up by God. He is the Elijah to come before the day of the Lord. He is the Christ. If we can borrow from the next pericope, we will hear the words of John the Baptizer telling us clearly why he has come as the Son of God, the Christ among us. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We have seen him transfigured, but we have also seen him transfixed upon the cross, there offering the full, the final, the perfect sacrifice for your sin and mine, indeed for the sin of the whole world. We value Lent so much because it's a time to grow in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. An opportunity once again to meditate upon the sufferings and death of our Lord and to let the love of God flood in upon us and to receive from him not only affirmation and forgiveness, but power to be people of joy and victory and hope in life. Let Lent begin. But also let Lent begin as a time in which we grow in ministry, in that ministry of which Dr. Frimder spoke yesterday. When the Jewish leaders came, they said, who are you? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah said, I am here to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what John did. He identified him. He introduced him. He proclaimed him. And just think, by the goodness and grace of God, you and I too have this New Testament ministry. You and I too have the wonderful privilege of introducing him and proclaiming him. We value the season of Lent because during the season of Lent, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we grow in our competence to be ministers of the New Testament. How can it be otherwise? As we see his love unfold, as we understand more about the divine plan of God for salvation, as we review that plan, we cannot but grow, not only in our competence, but in our enthusiasm to go about our task. Let Lent begin. Let it begin by our using Lent for what it is. Well, how do we do that? We do that by being in touch with the Great One who is among us. In touch with him. Having personal encounter and contact with him. How can this be? It can be because he has made it be. He has appointed the ways in which we might meet him and come into touch with him and his love and his power. There's no guesswork here. It's in the Word and in the sacrament of his body and blood. How good he is. It is in the Word that gives us the plan of salvation and unfolds it for us. The Word, which on the one hand, as the law, kills us and judges us, but the Word that is the gospel, that forgives us and absolves us and makes us alive. But how can we be sure we will receive the benefits of Word and sacrament? How can we be sure that when we place ourselves under the Word and when we receive the body and blood of the sacrificial lamb and the Holy Supper, that we will receive the benefits thereof? Well, he tells us that too. He tells us it is by practicing the gift of faith that he has given us, by using the Word and using the sacrament of his body and blood in faith. Well, let's say it in terms of Shrove Tuesday, by shriving, by approaching the Word and the sacrament, confessing our sins, turning away from everything that keeps us from him, turning away from everything that makes us less competent ministers of the New Testament than we want to be, and reaching out and taking hold anew God's grace and forgiveness and love and life and power in Jesus Christ. That's what Shrove Tuesday is all about. It is to shrive, to get into Lent, to begin the rhythm and practice of Lent, to set up the daily rhythm in which we will live with our Lord under Word and sacrament. From Alice in Wonderland. Said Alice to the Cheshire Cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" Said the cat, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then," said the cat, "it doesn't matter which way you go." It is not so among us. We know where we want to go. We want to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, faith and life. We want to grow to be more competent and able ministers of the New Testament. And we know that we do this by being in touch with the Great One among us, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. And we do it by faith, by practicing that holy practice that he himself continues to enable. It is a matter of practicing our baptism. We shall daily creep back to the font. How should we do that? To have water poured upon us once again? No. Fourthly, of baptism. Dr. Luther reminds us by daily contrition and repentance that the old Adam in us may by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sin and evil lust, and a new man daily come forth who will live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Sounds good to me. I have a lot of dying to do. I have a lot of rising to new life to do. I have a lot of growing to do. And I hope it sounds good to you too. Then let Lent begin. And let us do our shriving on Shrove Tuesday. Walk into Lent and do our shriving under the blessing of God every day in the blessed Lenten season, the holy time that is very much among us, because He is among us. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.